Hey, it's great to see you tonight. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to get to Isaiah chapter 1 in about 35 minutes when we finish the message. Today and tonight, we're going to start a new series that we're calling The Gospel of Isaiah. And tonight, I just want to give you a rundown of what we're going to do. Before we get started, though, I want to encourage you to be in prayer. Our church has a mission team over in Cambodia, and a couple of the young ladies in your church here are with them. Leah and Celeste are over there with about 12 of our people, and they are building classrooms and checking on wells and hanging out with the kids at the orphanage and doing some outreach with the church. And so keep them in prayer, and God is doing great, great things. And so with that, I want you to have your Bible open to Isaiah chapter 1. Tonight is just a preview, and our message is entitled, Good News in a Bad World. There's a lot of bad news out there, isn't there? Probably too much. Too much bad news. I can't watch the news much anymore. You can hardly look anywhere without seeing some tragedy or crisis. Everywhere you turn, something horrible has happened, And it seems to me like the worse the news, the more coverage it gets. You know, that old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. And so we see carnage, and we're constantly bombarded with strife and pain, and the news is just so bad. But what we need is good news. Amen? We need good news, and that's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. You know, I recently, my wife sent me a text from an article that I thought was good news. Maybe you'll be the judge of that, but this is from the Associated Press yesterday. The headline is, Militant Killed in Gaza Tunnel Collapse. The article reads, A tunnel in Gaza used by the Islamic Jihad militant group collapsed during the weekend, killing an extremist who was inside. And the article goes on to detail how over the past year, about 14 terrorists have been killed while digging their own terroristic tunnels. I say, bravo, that is good news. Or maybe you read more recently from Hawaii. Hawaii News Now reported just a few months ago a story about a small startup church in Kapolei. They had a trailer. They were a setup and breakdown church. They met in the school there, and they had all of their equipment in a trailer that was stolen. It was stolen on Friday, and they were really upset because it was just 1 week before Easter service, and all of their equipment was in there, and it equaled about $100,000 worth, and so they were praying and upset, and then early the next morning, Saturday, they got a call from somebody out in Nanakuli. Turns out the trailer, as the thieves were driving it away, broke off the truck and came screeching and skidding to a halt in the house, in front of the house of another pastor. He went outside, he looked at it, he called the church, and he said, hey, I've got your stuff here. So they got robbed, and it was recovered in time for them to have church on Sunday. That's good news, right? Amen, huh? God's good. But when we look out at the world today, it's terrible. It's terrible. And I think if there's ever a time in human history that we need the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's now. And there is great news. And we're calling our study the Gospel of Isaiah. Isaiah has been called the fifth gospel because he points forward to Jesus Christ like no other prophet in the Old Testament. And the great thing about that is that Jesus Christ is good news. There is hope for a hopeless world. And whether we look at the news and we see terror or taxes or disease or disasters or a bad economy or a random shooting or the elections coming up or Zika or ISIS or corruption in government or murders or terrorism, it's like a constant rain of caustic, acidic drops of bad news on our soul. It can weary us and we can lose hope. It was David who said in Psalm 27, I would have lost hope unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Or the Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 25:25, that good news from far away is like cold water to a thirsty soul. At that nativity scene, the angel proclaimed to a dark and distressed world, you know it well, I bring glad tidings, good news of great joy for all people. Sometimes I wonder if they had a good news network and all they showed was good news. They'd probably call it GNN, Good News Network. But I personally, I don't know if it would get a falling. I think the ratings would tank. Because there's something corrupt about our human nature. I don't think I could watch people that were being blessed all the time. Because of a simple self, I'd get jealous. You know, the report comes on, man in Portland wins the lottery. Oh, it could have been me. You know, woman gets a promotion on her job. Oh, it should have been me. Or you know, the weather is perfect again today. A light offshore breeze with perfect sets. Swells coming up. Reporting from the beach, I'm Pastor Bud. Back to you, Pastor Bill. And wherever you'd be, you'd get good news of something happening. I mean, maybe you'd get jealous, but maybe you'd also get bored. You know, because the reality is we're surrounded by good news every day, and we're bored of it, aren't we? Wasn't it a beautiful day? And didn't you take it for granted, like me? Good news, we need it, but we need to have eyes to see it and ears to hear it. Or maybe if there was a good news network, we just wouldn't believe it. That's too good to be true. Remember in that old movie, Good Morning Vietnam, I think it came out in 1988 with the late Robin Williams. He played a radio DJ in Saigon during the Vietnam War. And he tried to mix humor with the news. And it was a problem because they wanted to block all the news from the soldiers so they wouldn't get discouraged. And the director wanted to do something. And there's a certain scene there where they play that song by Louis Armstrong. You remember, It's a Wonderful World. And the great Satchmo with that raspy, beautiful voice is singing, I see trees of green. Red roses too, and it's a beautiful song, and it's showing families and the greenery, and then all of a sudden, the contrast, there's napalm going off, and the song continues, and it's such a serene, perfect song, and you hear him saying, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world, and there's casualties, and there's blood, and what the director was trying to show us was that even with the sweet song of good news, we can see the world around us, and it's not good. There's pain and there's death. They're trying to be ironic and show that even when we're hearing good news, we sometimes can't see it because of all the bad things around us. Praise God that the Bible is better than that. That the good news of the gospel and what Isaiah does in these 66 chapters, he takes the whole thing of our lives, everything. He takes our problems, he takes politics, he takes sickness, he takes corruption and poverty, he takes lust and hopelessness and idolatry and lies, and he brings it all together and he gives us the good news that in the middle of all that we have Jesus Christ, and that's why we call it the Gospel of Isaiah. You say, but wait a second, I thought the Gospels were in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, that's true, that's true. But you can think of Isaiah like Mount Rushmore. You know, it has four different faces. And so the Gospels are four different faces of the same mountain, but the mountain is the same. And Isaiah does that more than any other book. So clearly portrays Jesus Christ as our Savior. In fact, you know, Isaiah is quoted more than any other prophet in the New Testament. Jesus quotes Isaiah more than any other Old Testament prophet. In fact, in John chapter 12, John the Apostle tells us this, Isaiah saw his glory, therefore he wrote of him. But in the context, he's speaking about Jesus Christ. So when we look at the book of Isaiah, we're looking at Jesus. He is the good news. He is the good news. Now, Isaiah is unique like that. Tonight, we're not going to study any of the chapters. Tonight is our preview. And we have a schedule for how we're going to go along, but I want to give you a couple of insights. Isaiah is unique in that it's like a little Bible. There's 66 chapters, even as the Bible has 66 books. The Old Testament has 39 books, and the Old Testament primarily deals with prophecies and judgments. It emphasizes the holiness of God and the judgment of sin. And so the first 39 books of Isaiah are going to emphasize the judgment of sin, God's holiness, God's righteousness. But even as the New Testament 27 books speak about the glory of Christ, so Isaiah chapters 40 to 66 will reveal to us the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ and the glorious kingdom of God of which we are a part. And so Isaiah 1 through 39 are like the Old Testament, and Isaiah 40 to 66, the next 27 chapters, deal with the forgiveness that we have through Jesus. You know, somebody even corresponded every book in the Bible to each chapter of Isaiah. Now, I don't know if it was accurate, but I thought it was interesting. And so here's how our series is going to work. I'm going to take a large section that holds a certain theme in the book, and we're going to draw that theme out and see what Isaiah is saying through those chapters. We won't have time to read every single verse. That's why I need your participation. And in order to get a spontaneous reply from you, how many of you want to participate in this Bible study? Some of you are hesitant. You're like, I don't know about that. I'm not. See, now you've just sworn before the Lord that you're going to read these chapters. So, no, I'm kidding. This is what I want you to do. You need to read the chapters in advance. You can do that, right? Six chapters this week. You need to read the chapters ahead because I promise you that if you do, you will be blessed and encouraged and enriched in your Christian life. You're going to be brought closer to the Lord because when we come to that theme, it will be drawn out and the Holy Spirit will prompt you and bring it to your remembrance. I also want to encourage you to do this. Bring some new friends because I intend to make the gospel of Isaiah just that, the gospel. I want to preach the gospel to you. I want to preach the good news. How many of you know that the gospel isn't just for unbelievers? It's for Christians as well. The gospel's for us. We need to be reminded again and again of the good news. And so bring people. Maybe they've gone to church at a different church in the morning. Bring them tonight. Bring them on Sunday nights and let's give them the good news. So tonight what we're gonna do is we're gonna summarize. I don't know if they have the graphic up or not, but I wanna summarize what we're gonna do over the next 9 weeks. And so the first section that we're gonna do is chapters 1 through 6. And it's a message titled, Here Comes the Judge. In this section, Isaiah shows us sort of a courtroom scene. Court is in session. Court is in session, and here comes the judge. And Isaiah shows how God issues charges against his people. They are laid out, and even by chapter 6, Isaiah finds himself in the courtroom of God, guilty before God. And who is the judge? The Lord God Almighty. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone, I've seen the king. And so the judge arrives, and you know our theme there, and we're all guilty before the Lord. The Bible says that it's appointed for us to die and then face judgment. And so we're going to see there how God is a judge, and yet he's so gracious that he offers us a pardon from the altar that he establishes. And the question we'll ask is, are you ready? Are you ready to meet your maker? Are you ready to meet the judge? After that, we're going to get political. Our next message is from chapter 7 to 12, and it simply asks, who is God voting for? And so if you want to come for that, you'll see who God is going to vote for. But what we really see in this section is how God has an opinion about the rulers of this world and what kind of person he looks for when he looks for a leader. What does God think of leadership? And I want you to read through these chapters and see how many times you can see Jesus as the king. The following week, we're going to look at chapters 13 to 27. That's right, I said 13 to 27. I've never taught 15 chapters before in one night. Hopefully we can do it before the rapture arrives that night. But I promise you, I will not make it a filibuster message. But those 15 chapters deal with the pride of human beings. God issues judgment from one nation to another. The title of that message is Mr. Big Stuff, Who Do You Think You Are? You remember the song, don't you? For you see, in those chapters, there is one of the very few occasions that God addresses Satan himself. Isaiah chapter 14, where God talks about the devil, and we're going to get a glimpse of the Antichrist and the nations that attack God's people, and how the Lord puts them all down. God is a mighty warrior. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare and how Jesus defeats the works of Satan. He's our judge, he's our king, but he's also our warrior. That's good news. And then the fifth study, we're going to be looking for love in all the wrong places. That's our title, chapters 28 to 35. I thought I would put a song title for every message that we did tonight, but I didn't. But really, this is a true thing in our lives that people will look for support, they'll look for encouragement, they'll look for love in the wrong places. And even as Israel was tempted to look to other nations for trust, the Lord would call upon them to put their trust in him. So many times we look to people or things that can't help us. We look to substances that we think help, but they only hurt us. We look to entertainment or different ways of coping to try to fix our problems. People will drink to drown their sorrows, not realizing sorrows swim. The problems are still there. The solution isn't in any of those things. And why do we look to other things to be saved when God says, look to me and be saved? And so Israel is going to do that. And the question for us is, where are you finding your help? Are you looking for help and looking for love in the right place? Because the Lord's our Savior. He's our judge. He's our King. He is our warrior and he's our Savior. Then in chapters 36 to 39, the following week, we're going to have a historical interlude where we see a man that is under extreme pressure. King Hezekiah is in a desperate situation and he has no way out. What does he do? What does he do? Well, he lays it all out before the Lord. He lays it out before the Lord, and that week I want to emphasize how we can lay our burdens on the Lord, and we can trust in him, and he will bring us healing. And then in chapters 40 to 48, my message title for that is that God is an atheist. God is an atheist. He believes in no other gods except himself. I had another title for that section. I thought God is an atheist might be too salacious. Is that bad? When I said that, did you think, oh, Bud went bad? My other title was The Complete Idiot's Guide to Idols. Because in this section, it's all about how stupid idolatry is. And God stands and he says, I am God and there is no other. God doesn't believe in any other gods, and neither should we. And how foolish it is and how dangerous it is to become superstitious or to follow after idols. It is foolish to challenge the Lord God. You know, the other day I was driving and I saw a man on a motorcycle and he was taking a selfie of himself as he rode his motorcycle. I thought, that is stupid. Not long before that, I was at the shopping center and I saw a bumper sticker. It wasn't a bumper, it was on a motorcycle. It was just on the fender and it was the he greater than I sticker, but he had changed it so it said I with a small I greater than he. And I thought, oh, that is stupid, especially on a motorcycle. You're just a heartbeat away from meeting your God. How can you boast when you don't even hold your own breath in your hand? Well, God is going to show us how there is no other God. He's our judge, he's our King, he's our Savior, he's our healer, and he is our God. And then we'll be getting close to the end. We'll be getting close to that part where we see him as our suffering Savior. Chapters 49 to 57, God portrays Jesus as laboring, as suffering, so that he might deliver us as a woman goes through labor to deliver a child. And through that labor of our Savior, we are born again. Are you born again? Have you had an experience with the Lord God Almighty where he gave you new life? You're not the old person you were, but you came through that time of travail and he gave you life. And so chapters 49 to 57, we'll look at our suffering Savior. And then we'll look at heaven itself. We'll begin to turn our eyes toward the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 58 to 66 are all about the kingdom of God coming to earth. And we call that study our bright future, or the brightest future. You know, I don't think we think about heaven enough. I think we got our minds too much on earth. I know I do sometimes get caught up with the cares of this world. Worried about what I've got to do tomorrow or what I forgot to do yesterday. I get so busy that I forget to do what Paul tells me to do in Colossians, to set my mind on things above where Christ is, not on things of this earth. And we need to spend some time thinking about heaven and the hope of heaven, because the Lord is preparing us for heaven even now. Do you have the hope of heaven? It's in Isaiah. It's good news. You can. You can have the hope of heaven. You can be born again through the labor of our suffering Savior. You can know the Lord as your forgiving, pardoning judge, your gracious, gentle shepherd of a king, as your Savior and as your healer, the one who is the only true and living God. And Hopefully we'll finish all of these before the rapture comes. Hopefully it'll come before we finish, but our last message will be kind of like this. It will be an overview of what we've talked about. It'll be a message entitled Hope for a Hopeless World. And we'll review and talk about how the Lord still offers hope for people to this very day who, like in Isaiah's time, were putting their trust in money or politics or idols, but there's no hope there. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 11:22, have faith in God. So this hopefully will be an encouragement to your faith. Now tonight, I God forbid I ever preach a message without using the scripture. So I wanted to skip a stone across the smooth surface of Isaiah and touch on a couple of verses. Are your fingers ready? Can you turn pages with me? Isaiah 1:18. You know, we think of Romans, and sometimes when we present the gospel, we talk about the Romans road. And there are certain scriptures that we use to show a person how to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I think of Isaiah as having an Isaiah road. And so we're going to close tonight with a couple of verses that demonstrate this good news. Notice what Isaiah says in chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's reason together, says the Lord. Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be clean and made white and washed before me? The Lord offers it to us. Later in chapter 7, verse 14, we read this, that the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means the Lord with us. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read about that child being born. Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We jump all the way forward to Isaiah 53, verse 5. This child who was born is our King, and yet he's also our suffering Savior. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of those things we talked about, the fact that he's a judge, he's a King, he's the only God, he's a Savior, he's a healer, but he also suffers so that we might be forgiven. And he's rejected so that we might be accepted. We turn back a couple of pages to Isaiah 40, verse 31. These are familiar verses, but they ought to encourage your hearts. The Lord says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then in chapter 41, verse 10, we read this. God says this to you tonight. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah is good news. Isaiah is the gospel of good news. Close tonight, I want to tell you, I read a story just yesterday about a prison in Texas. Maybe you read the story. 8 prisoners were in a holding cell. They were waiting for transfer. It was very cramped, but they were just waiting, and there was only one guard on duty, and he was sitting at a table, and the surveillance camera caught all of this. The video caught this, that the guard had a heart attack, and you could see him slump down in his chair, and he collapsed to the ground. The 8 prisoners in their holding cell needed to do something, but there was nobody around. So they began to shout and pound on the walls. Finally, working together, they broke open the door of their cell. And they were able to go over to this man, but they were pounding on the ceiling and the doors, and all the other guards could hear from upstairs was what sounded like a riot. And the guard who had slumped down with a heart attack still had the keys and a gun. So they were very cautious when they went in, but they found that they weren't trying to hurt anybody. They weren't fighting. It wasn't a riot. All these men wanted to do was to save his life. And in the interview, one of the men that helped said, I just wanted to help him. He's a good man. What a great story. Isn't that great news? And they all quickly went back into their cell, and And the man's life was saved because they broke out of prison or broke out of their cell to help him. They saved his life. Isn't that cool? That's a great news story. But you know, the gospel is a little bit like that, but just in reverse. Because we didn't break out of the prison of this earth to save him. He broke into our prison to save us. And in that story, the guilty broke out to save the innocent. But in the gospel, the innocent breaks in to save the guilty. And in the news story that I read, all the prisoners went back to jail. But in the gospel, all of us prisoners are set free. Because not only does he break into this world to die on the cross and be buried and rise again, but he broke in so that we might break out. And he sets us free. And he delivers us. And he brings us home to heaven. This is the good news. And maybe tonight you're in a place where you've just heard too much bad news. Things look bleak. It's not good. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're hopeless. Well, listen. The Lord loves you. And he's brought you to hear his good news. The Bible tells us that God is good and he does good. That's one of his attributes. He cannot not be good. He is good to you. He hears your hurting. He hears your cries. He sees your need. And all we have to do to receive his forgiveness is to open our hearts and say, yes, Lord. Maybe tonight you're in a place where you need healing or you need forgiveness or you need to come to Jesus Christ. All you do is open your heart and say, yes, Jesus, please come into my life and forgive me. Wash me of my sin. Make me clean. Give me a new life and give me the hope of heaven. I want you to enter into my life. And it's that easy to receive the good news. And then you watch the Holy Spirit begin to transform your heart and mind as the Word of God feeds your soul. I'm excited about the next number of weeks. Are you? All right. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these few short verses that we read, but really the overview of this beautiful book that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we read through during the week or on Sunday afternoons, whenever it is, as we prepare our hearts to come, we ask that you would show us truly what is good news and encourage our hearts. You tell us in your word that it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And so, Lord, fill us with that joy that we might be strong. Fill us with your spirit that we might have power to endure, Lord. Fill us with your very presence, because your word says greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Lord, and we also pray for those who will come to visit, that you'll open their hearts to the gospel and they will receive you as their Lord and as their Savior. So, Lord, we commit this study into your hands and this series. Pray that you would bless us as we worship and fellowship together. Lord, be with us. We lift it all up before you, and we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen.